So you've probably heard me say at some point my story of going to my first yoga class. I was really into meditation and kept hearing about yoga, and it seemed like something that a lot of meditators do is also practice yoga and vice versa. And I actually was going to a gym regularly and saw they had a yoga class at the gym. So I thought maybe I'll check it out. And I would walk by the class and be kind of like, well, I don't know, is this, can I do this? What is this? Is it weird? Is it different? I didn't even really know what to think of it. This was like the mid 2000s, you know, it wasn't very popular. Finding stuff about yoga was kind of rare at the time. But I eventually got up the courage to just check it out and try it after a few weeks. I was like, okay, I'll just check this out. And I loved it. I immediately was just like, this is awesome. It feels like meditation and movement. It's like the best of both, fully present, focused on the breath. In the moment, it was just like something really clicked there, and I knew I wanted to do it as much as possible. I felt amazing, and I kept going back. And eventually, I knew I wanted to learn even more and, like, well, where does this come from? What's the philosophy? How do I live like this? I just want to feel like this all the time. And I realized that yoga teacher training was the way to do that, but I was like, I don't think I'll ever be a teacher. That's not really what I'm focused on right now. And believe it or not, I really never thought I would be a teacher, but of course, that's my job now. That's what I do. I love it, but I just started with that inclination to think, you know, what else is there to this? There's something more to this that I want to learn. So I signed up for a yoga teacher training, and I, of course, was amazed at how much depth there was. There's just so many things that I had never even heard in a yoga class, so many layers and so much depth to everything. It was exactly what I was looking for, and more than I could have asked for. So that just kept me further and further on that path, doing more and more trainings and constantly growing and constantly applying what I learned, and even becoming a teacher. And even in my teacher training, I was like, I don't think I'll be a teacher. I really enjoyed this experience. And my teacher was like, no, I think you're ready. You're a teacher. And I was like, okay, well, I'll try it out. And I just started doing little classes and built up from there, and here we are all these years later, and I'm really grateful for that experience. And that's why I created my yoga teacher training, and I'll be having my next round of that training next month, just over a month away in mid-March 2021. So if you're on that phase of your practice where you know there's something more, you want to deepen your practice, you want to learn about it, the chakras, Ayurveda, the doshas, the gunas, anatomy, mindfulness, breath work, there's all these layers. There's so much to it, and it's just fascinating. It changed my life in every possible way, and I'm super grateful for the experience. So I want to give that back. I want to share that with others. That's why I love doing these teacher trainings, and it brings me so much joy. I just really enjoy it. And if you want to check it out, quietmind.yoga, click on the link to the yoga teacher training, and you can sign up for the info session. So we'll be having one tomorrow from when I'm posting this. And then shortly after that, so you can see if there's one coming up when you're listening to this. And you can sign up right there, quietmind.yoga/YTT, or just go to quietmind.yoga and click on the link to the yoga teacher training and check it out. If you want to deepen your practice, that is the best way available. It just teaches you everything that you could want to know from the history. And I like to integrate all of that ancient wisdom and the modern science, all the way, everything in between, to share how we can apply this to our lives. How to make yoga really practical and not just teach, like, okay, do triangle pose. Well, why do we do triangle pose? What benefit does that give us? What is the energetic effect? What's the anatomical actions that we're doing? And how do we know if we're in or out of alignment, right? Understanding the pairs of movements of the muscle actions of the body. I have a whole podcast where I just talk about these kind of things called the Yoga Teacher Training Podcast, if you haven't checked that out already. And that's basically like what I wished existed when I got out of my yoga teacher training classes, because I was having so much fun and learning so much. I was like, I just want to be in this space all the time. And back then in the early 2010s, there wasn't anything like that. There was no podcasts or YouTubes about yoga teacher training kind of stuff. So I created that so that would exist. So if you're in that position, when you're in your teacher training or on that sort of precipice of going in or thinking about it, that is that resource where I talk about all these things with anatomy and alignment and mindfulness. So you can check out that podcast to get a feel for how I teach, or you can join us for the info session, the next one coming up tomorrow. And you can just learn more at quietmind.yoga and click on the link to the yoga teacher training. So today's episode, we have episode number 156. All right. So somebody didn't think they'd be a yoga teacher, has now taught thousands and thousands of classes. And this is the 156th podcast episode. This is a recording from about 2 years ago now, during the week of the Valentine's Day, which is what we're in now. So the week of Valentine's Day. So I was doing a little theme about relationships in my classes that week. So this is a Hatha yoga practice for mindfulness in relationships with an emphasis on strengthening the back. If you have props, there's two blocks and a blanket we'll use in this, but if you don't, you'll be just fine without them. So my teacher, one of my spiritual teachers would say that there's only one relationship. It's between you and God or source, universe, whatever word you use for that. But it's the only relationship there really is. And everything we do is a reflection of that. And sometimes that reflection is unpleasant, of course, and we get triggered, reactive, angry, frustrated, hurt, betrayed. All these negative emotions can arise through our relationships with other human beings. But my teacher, and this is something you can try on for yourself, I kind of sat with this for a couple of years and like, really, is that true? Does that resonate for me? And I personally found it to be true for me, but I, you know, listen to yourself, listen to your experience. But is it true that, you know, this person is a reflection of your relationship to your true self, your relationship to your source, to God, universe, whatever God God of your understanding that you follow or that you connect with? But is it true that this person is a reflection of that in some way? Which is hard to see because, of course, as Carl Jung would say, what is not integrated in ourselves becomes exaggerated in others. So we see the more exaggerated forms of these things in other people, like, oh, they're so selfish, or they're so hypocritical, or they're so whatever, this or that. And it's oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes there is some level of that that is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the universe, how we feel about source. So this can be a really deep rabbit hole to go into, but my personal approach to relationships is the issue, if there's ever an issue in a relationship, the issue is between me and my relationship to source. And the when I work on that and when I resolve that, the relationships with other people go a lot smoother. And oftentimes, whatever the issue is, it just sort of vanishes. Like that person is no longer behaving a certain way because I've done that work within myself to change that dynamic, which if you've never experienced that, it might just sound crazy. And if it's not true for your experience, whatever, dismiss it. You don't have to follow that. You don't have to believe that at all. But if you try it on, if it resonates with you, then use it. But I find that to be incredibly helpful. And I always focus on, okay, well, what can I adjust here? How can I grow? What can I learn from this? What is in me that is creating this dynamic? And do my best to work on that. And then in some cases, it is just the other person has their own issues. Of course, they have their own relationship to their source, which might not be a positive relationship as well. And that is coming into your dynamic. So that is a factor, but I always start with what can I do? And that's where yoga is so powerful. So we have this time, just an hour of the day, just an hour of the week, where we come in to our awareness with ourselves and decide, you know, how am I going to show up to my practice? How am I going to relate to my body? Can I be present in the discomfort of this pose and be just aware of what I'm feeling, not avoiding things I don't want to deal with, not just seeking out things I do want? Right, that's always the root of the issue they talk about in Buddhism and all these old Eastern teachings. And one of our core issues to be aware of is this tendency for us as humans to avoid what we don't like and focus on seeking what we do like, which can lead to all sorts of issues with addictions and behaviors that are not really nourishing to us. Like, yes, sugary food tastes great in the moment, but if all we do is keep eating sugary food, we're going to have lots of other issues. I had cavities a lot when I was a kid because I just was not even conscious of what I was eating. It's just like, oh, it tastes good, I'll eat it. And, you know, and I had all the consequences of that in the long run. So we can't just follow what feels good. We can't just avoid what we don't want to deal with. We've got to instead be present in the present moment and choose how to respond to life rather than react. How to respond to our relationship to ourselves and the self-talk that we have, the choices that we make with our bodies and our lives, and choose how to respond and engage with those things. And then it makes it a lot easier to make more positive, loving, caring, kind, compassionate, connecting choices with other human beings as well. But it starts from within, and then it reflects out. And we don't need to spend forever doing this inner work. We've got to go out into the world. We've got to engage. We've got to have relationships. We can't just be looking within all the time. But just an hour of the week, I think that's totally fair. At least an hour of the week to do your yoga practice, look within, connect to yourself, listen to your body, feel good in your body, feel clearer in your mind, connect it to your breath, then go back out and engage with the world and be of the world, not just sort of observing the world, of course. We got to be in it. We got to live our lives. We got to move forward. And we've got to make mistakes. That's a big part of the thing too. So relationships are so interesting because they bring up all of that stuff. And they're the what my teacher would also say, our most sacred mirror, because they show us all of these things that we just would not see otherwise because they're so intimate and close with us that they get to see all of the stuff, the good and the bad and the neutral. And we get to choose how to engage with it. And we can learn from it and grow with it. And we get that opportunity through our relationship to self and our relationship to others, our relationship to our practice. It's all one thing. A relationship to our breath, right? It's all one thing. So hopefully this practice today gives you a little insight and helps you show up a little more connected, a little stronger in your relationships as you go through this week, this Valentine's Day. You won't find that on any Valentine's Day cards, of course. But hopefully that does give you some support and perspective as you go into this week. And if you enjoy this class, please take a moment to leave a review in Apple Podcasts. And also, you can check out the Quiet Mind Yoga Teacher Training, quietmind.yoga, and check out the info session there that's coming up if you want to learn more. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for practicing today. Hope you enjoy your practice and look forward to sharing more with you soon. So let's start. So let's start with the blanket. So have your blanket out from like the normal rectangle to a wider rectangle. And we'll roll that up into a round cylinder kind of shape. So that's going to go somewhere under the shoulder blades. So probably right below the shoulder blades, but it might be a little higher or lower. But for a lot of us, there's a sort of band of tension there that builds up just from sitting in chairs, driving devices, all this stuff. So your shoulder blades, the scapula, touch the floor above the blanket. So you don't want your shoulders hanging off the floor or any stress on your neck here. So the head's relaxed. And the thicker you make this roll, the more sensation, the more intense this is. The thinner you make the roll, the less intense, so you can adjust that as you need to. If it doesn't really feel like much, maybe make the roll thicker. Or if there's any pinching or discomfort, make the roll thinner. And now direct your breath into the upper back, so into the blanket. So you're kind of using the breath to massage the back and start to relieve this tension here. So as we hold this posture, maybe there's a little discomfort. Maybe it's starting to relax a little bit. All right, and as you all know, you all practice regularly that when you just hold into a posture or something like this, that maybe it starts out a little uncomfortable. You just stay with it for a little bit. You stay relaxed with the breathing. You just kind of keep the mind focused on the breath and the present moment, not really overthinking or analyzing or judging. And then the tension starts to release. And I feel like that's one of the most valuable skills I've learned from yoga that I apply in my relationships all the time. Like if there's any sort of conflict or strong emotions, it's just a sensation. There's a sensation in the body and I meet it and try to stay with it, right? And then there's always, we always have our challenges and struggles with that. And Sometimes we get reactive, and I definitely have that still at different times where I just feel like the emotion overtakes me, and that's okay. I'm not judging that either. But a lot of the times now, I just feel like I'm able to be with the sensation, just like you are in this pose, just like you are in the more challenging poses we'll do later. So you can kind of meet the sensation and just be with it and stay steady with the breath, and that tension will start to release, and you feel more relaxed in more situations. And less tense in more situations. Right, last couple of breaths here. If there's any last little bit of softening that can happen here, allowing that. We'll start to come off of the blanket and just down to your back without the blanket. So just feeling the back on the floor sometimes feels really nice after that, the contrast. Now hug your knees in and rock a little side to side on the back, massaging left to right in that area. All right, so that's a good thing you can just have available to do regularly at home. That band of tension creeps up on a lot of us. And now just bring your knees back to center, one hand on each knee. As you inhale, press the knees forward, arching the low back, tilting the pelvis. As you exhale, pull the knees in, rounding the low back, tilting the pelvis. Continue with your breath forward and back a few times, inhaling forward, exhaling in. Strengthening the connection of the pelvis to the lower back, the lumbar spine, the lumbopelvic rhythm. Really important for the back in general. And then let your feet down to the floor, setting up like bridge pose. So your feet are hips width apart. Fingertips can touch the heels and start to peel the spine up the floor one vertebrae at a time. As you exhale, you lower back down one vertebrae at a time. Moving with your breath, feeling each vertebrae of the spine as best you can. Usually there's some areas that are a little stiffer that are maybe less mobile, but finding a little more mobility here and more articulation of each vertebrae. The next time you come up to bridge pose, we'll hold and breathe there. You could stay just like that, or you can crawl your shoulder blades underneath and interlace the fingers, pressing the arms down. Press the heels firmly down into the ground to engage the glutes and hamstrings, helping to open the front of the hips. Starting to strengthen the back of the body, open the front of the body. We'll hold a little bit more here, right? So it might be a little uncomfortable, but we're strengthening the glutes. If things cramp up, definitely take a break. But if you feel okay here, hold and breathe and meet that sensation, right? So as you breathe and meet the sensation, it's a little uncomfortable at first, but then it starts to feel a little pleasurable usually. There's a little comfort or a little sort of the endorphins start to kick in. And then we'll slowly start to lower all that down, releasing that tension into happy baby, holding outside of the knees or shins or feet. I don't know, maybe I'm just masochistic though. Maybe it's not pleasurable for you. But I do like to know my muscles are working and I'm fully engaging all the muscle fibers, right? Now bring the soles of your feet together all the way down to the floor in Supta Baddha Konasana. Knees are apart, feet are together. Now, be very mindful of your knees and your hips if there's any tension with this, but if you feel good here, you could stay here. But if you want to add a little more to this, you can again start to peel the hips off the floor, contracting the glutes here, helping to open the inner hips even more. Again, finding that strong contraction of the backside here, holding and breathing. And slowly release the hips down, keeping the legs in this shape, and maybe the inner hips relax a little bit of their tension here. And knees back together. It's a happy baby pose. One more time, releasing, stretching the back of the legs. And then feet down to the floor and cross the right ankle over the left thigh for a supine pigeon. So now we've opened all sides of the hip, the full circumference of the legs, front, back, and sides. And we'll hold and breathe here a little bit, starting to release some tension in the piriformis, outer right hip. Can move the ankles and toes if you want. Just keep the head and neck and shoulders relaxed. Just enough effort to hold the posture. And then let the legs down and switch to the other side. Same thing. And slowly release down. And then you can either just roll over to your side or rock forward and back a couple of times to come up to hands and knees. And from hands and knees, making any movements that feel good for you. Could be holding child's pose, could be cat cow, any direction, anything that feels good for the shoulders, neck, spine. Becoming a little more fluid, less rigid. And then come back to the center, to hands and knees, bringing the hands onto the wood floor off the mat. And move left to right into the shoulders. You could add a little forward and back with this as well, or any other sort of variations. But focusing on the shoulders, moving the shoulder blades together and apart. From my experience, the number one way to increase pain in the body is to become immobile. And to just be in one position for a long time, like sitting, driving, whatever. So more mobility usually decreases pain, in my experience. So it's creating more fluidity, ease of motion here in the shoulders, back, and spine. Then we'll come back to the center and bring both arms forward, hands down, and let the forehead lower down, hips stay over the knees, lengthening through the front of the chest and shoulders. And a little bit of extension in the spine here, sort of a back bend, a passive back bend. So we're allowing the body to relax into this. From here, thread your left arm underneath, left shoulder down. right arm can reach forward, pressing down, or press down near your head, or you wrap your right arm around the back, any variation of this. So we're opening all sides of the shoulders, upper back and chest, this whole area. And we'll come back to the center over to the other side. Reach the right arm through. And again, you can press actively into the left hand or just let it be relaxed. You can reach actively with the right hand. And breathe into the upper back between the shoulders, creating sort of massaging effect with the breath there. And slowly come back to the center and back to downward facing dog. Just gently easing into down dog. You can pedal the feet, shift weight side to side. And then we'll come forward to a plank pose, shoulders over the wrists. Mary, you can make fists if that feels better for your wrist. And hold and breathe here. Strong through the front of the body. Quads, hips, belly, shoulders, chest, everything strong, arms. And then slowly lower all that down, releasing to locust pose. Reach the arms back, heart lifts forward and up, lifting the legs. Strong back of the body, open front of the body. Yep, palms facing down is usually safest on the shoulders, usually best for the shoulders. And even a little external rotation with the palms down and then the thumbs can turn a little bit up towards the ceiling if that feels good for your shoulders. Last little bit here, again, finding a little bit more contraction, a little bit longer than usual, and then slowly release all that, finding sort of ease and letting go of the tension, turning the head to one side. And one more time, lift the heart forward and up, locust pose. Again, contracting the whole back of the body to open the front of the body. Activating and engaging all the muscles of the upper back, the lower back, triceps. Even a slight bend in your knees for the hamstrings and glutes, the whole back line of the body engaging. And then slowly release all that down, turn the head to the other side, relaxing. Feeling the tension fade out of the muscles. And bring hands under shoulders back to down dog. Here, step the right foot forward into a lunge. Bring your left knee down to the mat or the blanket, either way, and start to shift the hips slightly forward into a low lunge. You could stay here on the fingers or hands on the thigh or arms overhead in a sort of Y shape, pinkies towards each other. Focus your gaze at a single spot. So you could scoot your right foot a little bit forward so you have a knee over ankle. Yeah. So generally when you have the bone stacked like shin vertical like it is here, this helps the muscles work more optimally, more functional. And if the knee can go really far past the ankle, then that can put a lot of stress on the knee joint. But everyone looks really good here. And then slowly float the hands down and step forward to a forward fold at the front of the mat, Uttanasana. And to start, you can have your knees bent to soften the low back, But if your low back's okay, the knees can be more straight. If you have some neck tension, you can use your fingers to kind of massage down the neck from the traps down to the occipital ridge at the back of the head. Jaw relaxed, letting tension sort of just drain out the top of the head here. And then lower the hands down and step your right foot back into a lunge, left knee over left ankle. Right knee can be down on the mat or the blanket. And again, hands can stay down or hands on waist or arms up over in the Y shape overhead. Focus your gaze at a single spot to help focus the mind. And slowly float the hands down and step forward again to a forward fold. And maybe take a different variation. You could hold onto the calves and pull yourself deeper down. You could put your hands under your feet in Padmasana, stepping on the hands and slightly pulling with the hands, pressing with the feet. And we'll release there and inhale to lift halfway up, extending the spine. And exhale to step back to down dog. Make sure you don't kick the wall. Lift your right leg back and open the hip here, bending the right knee, heel towards the tail. Rooting down through your knuckles to lift through your right knee, opening the right hip over the left. And then step it all the way forward into a lunge, this time a high lunge. The back knee stays lifted and the arms can float up here into the Y shape overhead, pinkies towards each other. Now the back heel can be pressing slightly back to stretch the calf. Or heel over the ball of the foot, slightly lifting the back heel to strengthen the left quads and glutes. Or you can do a little bit of both. You can go back and forth, right? A lot of people have tight calves. I often do. A lot of people have weak glutes, right? So both of them are really good. So either way, whatever feels right for your body. And then slowly float your hands down, step forward to a forward fold here. And inhale to lift halfway up, extend the spine. And exhale to step your right foot back into a lunge. Right knee stays lifted this time. Left knee over left ankle. Float your arms up overhead into the Y shape, strong legs here. This time might be a little different. If you ever feel a little wobbly, you could take a wider base with the feet wider from the center. And again, the back heel can be lifting, strengthening the right leg, or back heel can press back, stretching the right calf. Next, exhale, float your hands down and step back to down dog and lift the left leg, opening left hip here, bending in the knee. You can root through the knuckles to lift through the left knee and open the hip. And then float the leg back down, forward to a plank pose, high push-up position, shoulders over wrists. Bring your right hand a little bit forward and stack your feet to side plank, stacking left foot over right. And you could have your right knee down for a little more support. You can have left arm up. You can have left leg lift. I don't know what you're laughing about, but laughing is good for the core too, so more of that is encouraged. Well, you always have a 50-50 chance, so that doesn't hurt. And then we'll slowly come back down to plank pose, shoulders over wrists. Reset the hands now. So left hand comes a little bit forward, stacking the feet, right foot over left. And then here again, you can lower the left knee, you could raise the right leg. can always decrease or increase intensity in any pose. Either way, meeting that engagement intensity with a calm, relaxed breath in mind. Come back to plank pose, shoulders over wrists. All the way down to your belly, locust pose, lifting the heart forward and up. Pointing the toes back as if you're trying to reach your toes to the wall behind you and your center of your chest to the wall in front of you. Shoulder blades towards each other on the back, contracting the back to open the front and slowly release all that back down. Let's come back to hands and knees, and you can use your blanket here to support the knees. And we'll do a little balance here. Oh. Now, everyone take a nap. All right. So here, hands and knees, reach your right leg back and left arm forward, balancing here. So notice there's always a little wobble. There's never a static locking into position. And slowly lower back down and switch to the other side. Reach the left leg back, reach the right arm forward. It would be so convenient if life wasn't always changing and people weren't always changing. Things were just exactly one way always and you could set it and be done, but it's always changing. And that keeps things interesting, right? Same thing here in the balancing. It's always moving. And slowly lower back down. And now we'll all do this version of side plank. Right hand a little forward, left leg back. Opening left arm and left leg lifts parallel to the floor. So focusing on the strengthening of the outer hip. It's just like half moon pose. And slowly lower that back down to the other side. Left hand a little forward, right leg back and up. Right leg parallel to the floor. And back down, back to down dog. And inhale the right leg back. Exhale, step it forward to lunge. And inhale to float the arms up to a high lunge here. Now this time reach the arms back like locust pose, lifting the heart. And lean forward into the front foot and float the back leg up any amount towards parallel towards the floor. If your shoulder's okay, you want a little more challenge, you can bring hands to the heart or arms extend forward. It's very normal for the left hip to turn out a little bit if that feels natural for you. It doesn't have to be pointing straight down. Float back to the high lunge. Warrior two, back heel down, arms extend, front knee towards the front middle toes. If the shoulders are a little tense here, you could turn the palms up, softening the shoulders. And now bring your left hand to the left hip. And you can use your block here at the right corner or just move your right hand towards the right corner. Right, you want to go a little bit to the corner, not straight ahead, because that's going to kind of throw off your equilibrium with the back leg. And then float the back leg up any amount towards Ardha Chandrasana half moon pose. Press down into my hand a little bit here. So pushing down. Yeah, so it's going to strengthen the inner hips a little bit here. Good. And then we'll come back to warrior two. Straighten the front knee to triangle pose, right hand inside the ankle or to a block here. Left arm can be straight up or wrap your left arm around the back. And the neck can relax down towards the ground, relieving the shoulders, or you can look up towards the ceiling, strengthening the neck. And then back to warrior two. And float your hands down, back to down dog. Lift the left leg back, inhale. And exhale to step forward to lunge. Inhale to float the arms up to a high lunge. And exhale to point the fingers back like locusts. Lean forward and start to float the back leg up any amount towards warrior three. Focus your gaze at a single spot. Steady breathing. So there's a lot of information coming into your nervous system right now. Still steady, relaxed breath. Still focused with the gaze. And then float back down to the lunge to warrior two. And hold and breathe here for a moment. And then right hand to right hip, left hand towards left corner or block, floating the back leg up any amount to Ardha Chandrasana, half moon. And press down, yeah. And then slowly back to warrior two. Straighten the front knee to triangle. Utthita Trikonasana, left hand inside the ankle or to a block. Right arm can be straight up or wrap around the back. The gaze can be down, forward, or up. And we'll come back to warrior two to float the hands down, come back to down dog. And again, forward to plank pose, shoulders over the wrists. Now here, left hand a little bit forward, lift the right leg up and flip over to land the right foot behind you. This back bend variation of side plank. And then back to plank pose. And lift the left foot off the floor. You could stay there or flip over to land that foot to the floor behind you. Find the back bend here, engaging the glutes, extending the spine, lifting through the hips, opening, reaching through the left arm. And then back to plank pose, shoulders over wrists. And then all the way down to the belly. Either locust again here, or this time bend your knees, reach for the tops of the feet. Usually outside of the foot's a little easier here. And reach any amounts in that direction. If you don't quite reach the foot, you can go back to locust. But if you got them, now lifting the heart, lifting the thighs, extending the spine, any amount. And always listening to yourself first, right? Sometimes doing less is more in alignment for you. Doing more is not always better. And then slowly come back down and relax. All right, now you can turn your head to the other side, Stephanie. If Feeling all that tension, engagement fading out of the body. Now start to come back to hands and knees. So from here, we'll step the right foot forward into a low lunge with the left knee down, like we did earlier, and have the left hand on the wood floor off the mat, opening the right arm over the left in an open twist. You could stay just like that or bend the back knee, reach for the top of the foot. If there's any knee pain at all, just don't do that, so don't force it. You can just have the knee down. And slowly release. Now keep your legs sort of that same shape. Walk your hands over to the left off the mat. Now turn your back heel down like Warrior Two, sinking a little deeper into the inner hips here. Upper body like Down Dog, lower body like Warrior Two. Front knee moving towards the front middle toes. Now we're all going to feel different poses at different places at different times, but here you may be able to emphasize opening the adductors, especially on the left side right now, by deepening the bend in the front knee, the inner hips opening. And then walk your hands towards your left again. So now you're in a wide-legged forward fold. So you can have hands on blocks here or hands on the floor. If you feel like your back's rounding, it's a little cramped there, you can use your blocks to give yourself a little more space. But if you feel okay, you can start to walk your hands back, maybe fingers in line with the toes, eventually head towards the ground. And you could take a slightly wider stance if you want, but don't overdo it. You don't want to feel like you're past like 80% of your edge. You want to stay around 60 to 80% of your edge. And then start to bring the hands back under the shoulders again, transitioning back to the back of your mat. So like Warrior Two legs now again, so your right heel is down towards the ground like Warrior Two. Your arms walk over towards this right corner. Well, it's now your right corner. And like Down Dog in the upper body, like Warrior Two in the lower body. Again, you might feel this in different areas, but maybe allowing a little more opening in the inner hips, adductors. And then we'll complete this little transition towards the back of the mat, lifting the back heel and bring the right knee down, right hand off the mat onto the wood floor, opening left arm over right in an open twist. And you could stay right there or bend the back knee and catch the top of the foot. Opening front of the hips a little bit more here. And slowly release that. And turn to your right, back to the wide-legged forward fold. Now again, you can go right back to where you were. Maybe you feel a little more open to go a little deeper since you've had a little rest there. Or if there's some other inversion you want to practice, if you're working on headstand or anything like that, you can go here at your own pace. All right, otherwise, just stay here. And always, if you have questions or want support, let me know. You stay here. Then we'll slowly start to transition back to the front of the mat and back to down dog. Good. And then back to hands and knees. So here, bring your right knee towards the right wrist for upright pigeon, going deeper into our stretches now, deeper into the outer hips here. Extend the spine with the fingers on the floor and use that length to start to come down, folding from the waist instead of from the spine. And then start to come up onto the hands here. And you could stay just upright for a moment, or if you want a little bit more of this, you can go into a deeper twist. So you bring your left forearm down in front of you, like parallel to the front edge of the mat, and then bend the back knee to reach for the top of the foot here. Again, any knee sensitivity, just skip that part. But if you're okay, you can hold and breathe here for a moment. And slowly release the back foot. Come back to hands and knees. And if there's any movements you want to make to transition, you can do that. But when you're ready, you just have your left knee come forward towards the left edge of the mat. Hips square to the ground. Spine long. Hinging at the waist to come down. You can always put a block or a bolster under your left hip for a little support here. Think of your mind's default responses to things. We're generally, you know, in my experience, just watching my mind, I'm generally avoiding pain and seeking pleasure, right? Avoiding things I don't like and seeking things I do like. But in yoga, we practice actually going into slightly uncomfortable positions and being okay with that. And just like any other area of life, and things are challenging, it's easy to want to avoid the challenging things and avoid the painful, difficult things. But we develop this steadiness of mind, the steadiness of awareness that knows that we'll be okay when we go through those challenges and go through those discomforting things. And as we develop that within ourselves, it naturally translates into all experiences of other people, especially when things are challenging. We can be with their challenges, right? And sometimes we need people to be there for us, and we can be there for other people. So start to transition here, coming back to the hands. And we'll come up to a sort of crab shape, so leaning back on the hands. The knees bent. Oh, I forgot about that twist. Yeah, thank you. So let's do that twist. So have your right leg. So still in pigeon pose, right forearm comes down towards the, facing the front edge of the mat, and then right knee can bend, reaching back with the left hand. So you're all very, obviously, very forgiving people, non-judgmental. Or at least not overtly judgmental. And then slowly release the little twist there. And then we'll come back up to sitting. So leaning back on your hands with knees bent, feet on the floor. Let your knees fall to your left, right? So to your left. And then have your right knee end up in the left arch of the foot. And then start to turn towards the back of the mat. And here you can start to lower down to a blanket or a bolster. Elbows, hands, any version of this in deer pose. This is one of the best ways to stretch the QL, the lower side of the back. And then start to come back up and over to the other side, same thing. So to your right, left knee into the arch of the foot, turning towards the back of the mat, lowering down to the prop or to the elbows, the hands. It's usually an area that we don't stretch in a lot of poses. I see a lot of people have a lot of tension with this, so if you do notice that, breathing into that space, meeting that tension with a relaxed breath. starting to come back up. And down to your back, hug the knees in, rock a little side to side on the back. And back to the center with the knees, one hand on each knee. As you inhale, press the knees forward, arching the back. As you exhale, pull the knees in, rounding the back. And then let your feet down to the floor. And either you'll go to waterfall pose using a block under your tail and have the legs vertical, right? Holding there, or no block and to shoulder stand. Start to bring the knees in, catch the low back with the hands, and start to extend the legs up. If you've never done shoulder stand, just go with the waterfall pose. It's a lot safer. It's having the legs vertical. All right, and those of you in shoulder stand, just keep your head neutral, so don't turn the neck here. And work on getting the hands to the low back and shoulder stand, supporting the back. Eventually, hips more over the shoulders, legs over the hips, in that direction in general. All right, as long as you feel okay in the spine and the back, you're good. And those of you in waterfall pose, make sure you just adjust so you feel like the block's supporting you. Sometimes it can be a little tricky to find the right spot. Hold and breathe here a little while, right? Getting the effects of this inversion. Really nice to reset the whole nervous system. Tends to have a very calming effect. And then we'll all just slowly start to lower down from here to happy baby pose. It's gentle movements. You can extend one leg at a time. Just hold still if that feels better for your nervous system right now. And then slowly start to release the legs down to the floor. If there's any last movements or adjustments you want to make before Shavasana, do that. When you're ready, coming into Shavasana. Now start to move the fingers and toes, hands and feet, arms and legs. And slowly start to transition over to one side. Take your time getting there. And then press into your hands to come back up to sitting. And we'll bring the hands together at the heart, following the mind to the heart and to each other. Thank you for practicing today. Namaste.